Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Character Read Room. You've got your Omiika. I'm live coming to you straight from my studio. I like to say habari gani to my new friends and what's up to my old friends. Once again, thank you for joining me this evening. We are on the topic of tribal people, ladies and gentlemen. If you've read the advertisement, it's talking about the benefits of being in a tribe. And as you know, my very name represents Omiika, meaning ancestors surrounding me. So the tribe is always traveling with me. I'm never alone. And it's not unusual for me, every once in a while, people think that people are being seen with me. And they always ask me, why are all those people following you? Now, if this is imaginative or if they really can see them, I don't know. But I was told my ancestors came from heaven to accompany me here, right on this earth. You ought to get you some ancestors to follow you around. You need a posse. You don't need to be by yourself because we're doing it up communal style in this new millennium. And if you don't believe me, come on and come along with me and go on this trip. You can bet your bottom dollar it's going to be a blast, and we're going to take you there. Hold on. We're going to take you there. And if you don't mind waiting a while, we're going to take you there and show you how upfront and personal. Our chat rooms are now open now. Now, you know, I did indicate that I'm looking for a co-host. Don't all of you line up at one time and start calling me, because I am looking for a co-host to support my chat room and host that show with me. It's a great opportunity to work with Omi. You ought to come on in and lock your dial in, Lil G, at 646-478-0270. Keep it right there, Lil G. I said, keep it right there. I'm a hard taskmaster. When you work up under Omi, I won't treat you like an Egyptian slave, but I will work you hard. So come on in the room and join me and be my co-host. The chat rooms are open, and I'm the only one in that room, lonely as ever before. But nevertheless, come on in so you can chat with me. This is the moment you've been waiting for. That's right. You've heard a lot about a lot of topics and a lot about issues of other people's problems, but very rarely does Omi get on the topic of numero uno and talk about herself. I've talked a lot about relationships and presented scenarios of how we can solve our problem, even have gone the polygamous route with you. Now I'm talking about the communal concept and how to heal our community of its ills. Now I'm going to also share with you this evening, during the second part of our show, so you want to get in here, a little bit about my 36-year marriage and what I think or what I project may have went wrong. And was Omi the cause of it? Was I the problem? Well, I'm going to shed a little light on that. And I'm going to be point blank and frank with you. No one person could go all wrong in a relationship. Each party has to share 50% of whatever it is that went wrong in that relationship. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my 50% that I perceive that I may have contributed to. That's right. I'm going to bare my soul, because bearing a soul is like a medicine. It's good to debrief yourself for healing purposes. It's a form of therapeutic help. And I believe in therapeutic self-help. This is a medicinal purpose to share and to debrief myself so that I can cleanse. Didn't you guys know that I was going through something all year long? I did tell you that I was going through a divorce. And you probably wonder, how is she able to stand up under this pressure? Well, it's because of your support. Getting upfront and personal with you causes me to forget about my own problems. But every once in a while, I have to go back into the old closet and sometimes into the mirror and look at the face of the person that I have to live with. And some of the times I have to consider, what part of me do I want my audience to know about? And I believe in being frank. I believe that whatever I have on me should not be too difficult to bring to the forefront, because I need you just as much as you need me to heal the part of me that's ill. And the way I heal myself is through debriefing and releasing. So we're going to do a little releasing today. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my personal 36-year marriage, because we are talking about tribal opportunities and the benefit of being in a tribal relationship. And I've lived in a tribe all my life. Most of you who know me know I came from a clan of 18 children. That's right, 11 girls and 7 boys. Everyone here in this community know we grew up tribal style, Native American style. So a lot of our customs were a little bit different because we grew up like an Asiatic Native American, and we believed in functioning like a Native American. So therefore, we weren't exposed to a whole lot of the urban setting. But at the same time, I kept my tribal ways with me. And it took me all the way over to Europe, and I encountered all kinds of people, predominantly Africans that I lived around. I had a chance to live around Togo people, the Nigerians. They taught me their language. They showed me how to prepare their food, and I worked in the refugee right there with them. So I had a firsthand experience of being close to our African people. So I learned to enjoy the tribal lifestyle. I learned to understand what it was that people did not see in us. They saw the roughness. They saw the bush people. And that's the same way the Africans were treated in Europe. I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit. And I thought it was wrong because we were both Africans, but yet I was favored over them because I was culturalized in their United States of America and had their education here. So they favored the fact that I was socialized. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get your thinking caps on, get your questions together as we get ready to talk about tribal. But before we do that, we're going to do our libation. We're going to pay homage to our higher selves. Remember, gods, I want you to stand with me, and I want you to remain standing. And when you've done all that you can do to stand, I say still remain standing. And still, in the face of advertisement, remain standing. Because, women, you are God. I want you to know that. It's high time we start calling ourselves who we are. As we stand together today, I will always call on you. Because I need your togetherness to help me as I come into the Godhead that I have been forced up against the prick to come to. Now, as we stand together as gods, I want you to know that we birthed a nation. I want you to know that all life came through our loins. I want you to know also that in high places, Thegnis was found, and she had the bones of a Melanite woman. That makes us the women who have birthed the universe. All civilization came through our mother's loins. We are the mothers of this earth. And children, you are to obey your mothers and fathers. We have been found all over the diaspora. In every country you go to, they don't know the time when there wasn't a black man or woman there. We have permeated this continent. We are not minorities. Do not get it twisted. Don't let anyone fool you with the porch monkey, the urban setting, and minorities. Those are not things that you are. You are, in essence, a god. And say it with me, I am a goddess. And women, once you begin to accentuate the fact that you are God, you will begin to carry yourself in that manner, and those who come in your contact will know that it's proper to pay homage to you by dobaleing you. So when you come in the presence of a god, dobale a god, and bow your head, do not let your eyes come above their brows as you bow your head down before a god. That's what we are today, ladies, and we're going to act in that capacity. As we stand today, we pour libation to our higher selves today. Remember, we're not talking to any god out there in that fictitious universe. We're talking to a god right in the inside of us, who takes up residency there, who is now residing there, who has housed themselves in the midst of our being. God, we are talking to you, who we turn inwardly to talk to ourselves, and we ask you to help and assist us as we begin to do what it is you called us to do, and that is to act like God. And as we act like God, we remember the fact that we pay homage to you and we pour libation to Oludulamare and we say Ashe. I pour libation to our mother spirit, Yamanja, who represents the rivers and the oceans. And as she represents the rivers and the oceans, she is but a drop of water as to that vast ocean. And I call in my mother's name, Clara Mae Jenkins, and I say Ashe. I turn my head to the east, and I pour libation to my father spirit, O Batala, the man in white, and I say Ashe, and I call on Robert Jenkins Ashe. I like to pour libations to our ancestors, and I call on Sheikh Esdia. I like to call on Nina Simone. I like to call on Harriet Tubman. I like to also call on Bessie Lou Hamer. I like to call on the name of Dr. Carruthers. I like to call on John Henry Clark. I ask all of these great souls that they will allow us to crawl over their backs as they make it through the Mayafa, as they come down the path. I ask them to allow us to be in their presence and let us tap into your melanin, and may we take hold of your great substance, and may you reconnect yourself back to the family as if you've never left. May you come back through the eyes of our children. May you come back through the eyes of our lovers, but may we see you in this present life as you reconnect yourself back to the family. We are communal, and we are communal people, and we will conduct ourselves in that fashion and begin to call ourselves the mothers of the world and bring ourselves into existence so that all the world will pay homage to the queens and mothers that we are. Queen Mother, stand up wherever you are. Queen Mother, stand up. You must understand it is our time now. It is time for us to reveal who we really are. We've been in secrecy, we've been in hiding, and we've been suppressed. But the old man that's been immersed in water has now been fully birthed, and we bring him out of the birthing room. Zion was pregnant, and she couldn't bring forth birth. She's now brought forth birth, and the gods have arrived. Lift up your countenance, O ye people. Lift up your countenance, O ye people. You must know who you are. Now let's begin this conversation. We've been talking about how is it that we can benefit from being in a tribal situation. Our chat rooms are open, and I'm waiting to see somebody in there. Come on in. Dial that number, 646-478-0270. And if you're out there in the Twitter room, I just recently sent you a message to let you know we are now on the air. You can easily come into Omi's room. We're friendly here. Come in and have a seat. As I indicated, I wanted to talk to you, first of all, a little bit about a tribal setting, and then I'm going to go into the conversation of marriages. The reason and the purpose for talking about tribal life is to get our affairs in order. Our affairs have completely been tossed upside down. And I'm not talking about a tossed salad, and I'm not talking about anything freaky deaky today. I'm talking about how we've gone off course. How is it that we can be a Putin human being and have E.Y. Paley and gone so far off course? We've forgotten who we are. We really have. We have turned our heads to the back of our neck and become stiff-necked people and forgotten who we are. Well, let me tell you who we are. I'll tell you who we are. We're the risen people, and we rose with Christ. We're no longer buried. If you think you're still in that grave and your ancestors are still in that grave, then you're sadly mistaken. They have risen, and they have come through our children and through our lovers. And when you see them in your lover's eyes, be sure that you recognize your ancestors. And the gods that you're looking for and the Jesus, you won't find them in the atmosphere. You will find them in your lovers and in your children and in your own eyes. So as we act in the capacity of gods, it is up to the gods to call order in the house. And I'm calling order in the house today. We will act and function as our judge and our jury today. So we call order into being, and those of you who are out there and not in the house and need to be present here, you will be summoned here. I decree it. And God will watch over his word to perfect it. And God is us, so we are going to watch over our word. Now remember, whenever I mention God, I am talking about you and I, woman. No other God out there. You won't find it in the universe. The only God that built this universe, he's up in the inner courts of heaven. He has nothing to do with our affairs. We can't even come before him. He is ratified and full of combustible fire. And if we come into his or her presence, we will become shattered just like glass. Now, what is the benefit of being in the tribe? And where are the tribes locally located here in the United States? One, for example, is in South Carolina that is functioning and thriving well. OU Tunja's tribe has been functioning very well and thriving. People from all over the world are going to OU Tunja's tribe. They have been successful in their efforts, and they have beat the system. Now, there's also a couple of communal and tribal settings in the city of Indianapolis, Indiana, as well. Now, do you have to be in those kind of tribes in order to function and be a part of a tribe? No. You can set up your own, and you can establish your own, but we need tribes now. We need them now more than ever before. Our communities do not know what to do with our offsprings when they come back from the institution. We are corrupting our communities by allowing tainted and corrupted people to come back from our penal institution who have not been ritualized, who have not been put through a ritualistic test before they come back into the community to taint the community again with the spirit of sin all over them. They have to be ritualized so they can come back properly, ready to turn their lives around. So the mothers are going to have to get into their position to make sure that they give this information to the community so that they'll know the proper way of conducting our communities. Now, we have a real big problem where there's a shortage of men in our community, and women have just really lost it. They have lost it to the point that they're becoming butches and dykes, and they're deciding to fend for themselves and to accommodate themselves in the bedroom. But that is not the way God wants us to go. We're feminine women who desire a full-blown man, and nothing else will take the place of that, not even the titillation that you would have other women to do for you. That is not what a woman is supposed to be doing if she's going to appropriate a nation. It's very important that you understand that those low-life levels are not going to advance your race. We have to do things that will advance our race. As a woman begins to receive the knowledge, she will magnify the universe and her race. You cannot magnify and advance your race through titillation with another woman. Now, am I talking against homosexuals? Am I down against them? No. I am talking about the appropriation of our black communities and helping them to grow. Europeans are paying their white women to have more babies over in Europe. They're compensating them for having more children. And the Chinese are being held accountable for having above 1.2 children. So you can imagine that African Americans, they don't want you having children either, because there's a population problem and they must cut down on the population. Now, I want you to understand, I know that the world is listening to me, and I want them to, because I did say that God has put me out there as a dare. I am a rightly guided woman, and I am rightly protected. I want you to know that. The ancestors have my back and my front, and they cover me. And there's nothing that anyone can do to me that the ancestors won't permit. And they have not permitted me to be harmed thus far, and they will continue to protect me. And I'm rightly guided, and God has intervened to give the words to say. And it is not me that's carrying this message. I'm just a water barrier. So don't do any harm to me. Don't attempt to. Don't attempt to even rise against my family, for I'm afraid of what might happen to you. Don't attempt to go and do anything to my loved ones or offspring, for I attempt that I must have to pray mercy over you, because God has decided to use me as a vessel, and I am a mouthpiece, whether you like it or not. What I have to say today, I hope you take it in your conscience and put it in your peace pipe and smoke it and meditate on it, because women, we are gods, and there's no two ways about it. The white man has already known and always known that we're the gods in the world. He has taken us in his protective covering, and sometimes he has used us for his fancy. Sometimes he's used us for his bedwinds, and sometimes he's used us for his management, and sometimes he's used us to guide the nation. And in many cases, there has been documentation where there have been great presidents who have used black women to help guide the country. And they still seek out black women to give them a bit of knowledge. And don't get it twisted. We're not somebody's bedwinch or whore. We are very dignified women, and we will conduct ourselves in that manner. So as we look at our shortage in our neighborhood of black men, and we look at how do we reproduce those black men after their own kind, and as we look at our black men that are in prison, how do we release them? We must understand we have the power, and what we say is law. We must remember that we speak into the wind, and Oye will carry our request to the ends of this earth, and we can command God and demand that God show up to watch over this world. We can call those men back to the community anytime we want to, women. But in the meantime, our tribes are empty, and we don't have men there in the meantime. So what are some of you doing to compensate for the men you don't have? I say occupy yourself. Get yourself into a study. Start working on a variety of things and become multitasking. That's right. Work yourself until you get busy. Don't worry so much about not having a bed partner in the bedroom. And find other things to fancy yourself with. And don't become diluted and conversable. And don't become someone who is a woman of the night that will do anything for pleasure. Try to chasten yourself and manage yourself through the hard times. God will be a diligent rewarder of those who are seeking him. And that means you got to spend time with yourself, meditating, getting to know yourself. Introduce yourself to yourself. Now that you know that you're God, you got to tell yourself, I'm God. You got to be in the mirror introducing yourself to yourself so that you begin to know who you really are. And if you just met yourself, you really don't know yourself. So take that time to spend and get to know yourself. I'm getting to know myself every day. And sometimes I don't like what I see, and I have to go back and change it. And then there's times that I amaze myself, and I wonder, who am I? You're God's, and I want you to know that. And a lot of people have been knowing for a long time, why don't those people wake up and realize who they are? How come they don't know the greatness of where they came from? Why didn't they know their ancestors? And how come they didn't know that Lucy is really not Lucy and she's Dagnish and she's in high places and she was a high priestess? How come she did not reveal herself to her people? Well, we won't tell them. We won't tell them. We'll keep it a secret. As long as we keep them a secret, they'll stay suppressed and sleep and anesthetized, and we'll give them more drugs to keep them asleep. And if that doesn't do it, we'll give them church, and we'll lull them to sleep. And if that doesn't do it, we'll put prostitution on the street and give them a way to hold them. So I'm telling you, women, don't turn yourself out. And don't be a Jezebel to put yourself out there just because you're so pretty and you think everybody is supposed to admire your body. Bring your body up under subjection. Cover it up. Now is not a time to be luring yourself out there when you're God and you're getting ready to go into combat. That's right. We are warriors. We are warriors. I'm a general, if you didn't know that. And lieutenants and generals stand at attention and they give orders and direction. We don't take orders, we give orders. So if you know who you are, why don't you stand up, women, all over the world? If I can see you, stand up all over the world. If you're a general or a corporal, stand up. There's a rank and order here, and you just don't go skipping in the glory talking to a general or a major or a corporal without following the chain of command. So before you want to embrace yourself into my presence, you better know who you're talking to. That's right. Omi is a hard taskmaster. You didn't know that. That's the other side of me. My very name stands for iron, and iron is a warrior. And being a warrior, when the time comes to fight, I don't play. Now, I want to say this much. Women, you're going to have to protect your loved ones, and you're going to have to put your guard up, because there are many that want to come after your loved ones. You're going to have to put up your guard, and you're going to have to let them know they're dealing with a God. Because when they want to come to your children, they're going to try to come through you. You're going to have to stand strong in the end time. This is a communal thinking. This is a communal style. In a communal area, women are going to have to take up arms because our men have become faithful in their last season. They've become faithful. Some of them cannot stand the war now, but the women have been getting fat off the land, and they've been building their brains up, and they're strategic warriors, and they are mean, green fighting machines. So what am I saying? I have a philosophy. I just gave you a new philosophy that we're gods. Whenever you have a philosophy that you want to defend, you must set up a group of warriors to defend that philosophy. Because whatever your philosophy is, you must be willing to stand up and fight for it and die for it. And if there's nothing in this world that you're ready to defend, then you might as well bury yourself in the sand right now. Now, let's get on to that marriage thing. Remember I told you that we need to look at that 7-to-1 and where the, excuse me, there's going to be 7 women to every man. Excuse me. If there's going to be 7 women to every man, then that means that you and I are going to have to look at how do we do this thing? How do we manifest? If there's 7 men to every woman, that means we're going to have to look at our own stuff, of dealing with polygamy. How do we rework it? How do we revamp it? How do we correct it and bring it back? We're going to have to bring committees of women together to relook at our polygamous situation and find out how we can reuse it. And what will make it work for us, we're going to have to do that. Now, some of you have left your husband. Some of you have divorced your husband. And some of you have become very, very rash and cannot even work with them and will not have talking or speaking opportunities where you talk to your husband. But I want to say something to you. We are living in a time when our husbands are our father, and we're their mothers. So we're kin to one another. And we're kin to one another more than what you might know. So we don't have the luxury of distancing ourselves from our brothers and sisters. Even if we have gone through a divorce, we must find a way to keep the planet peaceful by getting along with our ex-lovers and our ex-husbands. Because in a communal situation, we will bypass each other again. And some of them may stay in our circle because we need what they got and they need what we've got. Apparently, they saw something in us that connected us to them. I know I did. Now, I said I was going to talk a little bit about me. There's no way I could disconnect myself from my ex-husband. He chose me from a distance and afar, and he used his unique technique to find a way to catch me because he saw the missing link within me that could help him to become a full man. And after over a year and a half of trying to get next to me, he sent someone to beckon me to come to him because of fearing that he would be rejected. And at the same time, he even introduced himself as if God had sent him to me. I knew this was a man for me. God had set him aside. And he was the best man for me out of all the men I have ever dated. And I still love this man from the bottom of my heart. And nothing can make me stop loving him. Because he first loved me and because we still have interest in each other. So I'm telling you, women, if you're rash with those ex-husbands, you have no communication, you have no love for them, I don't know what may have went on in your life or your relationship that caused you to break up, but you've got to make peace. I can say the reason why I might be able to say this is because of the fact that I only had one incident that caused our breakup. It wasn't many upon many incidents, and it wasn't a butylated relationship. It wasn't that at all. So I have always had communication with my ex and have learned to get along with him. If he calls today, I'm going to his rescue. If I call him, he'll be here at my rescue. And that's the kind of understanding we have. So we can be used in a camp. In the case of a war, we can work together strategically because we still have a relationship. And we can work together in a tribal and a communal situation. And we can keep the planet and the atmosphere safe because we're not quarreling at each other. Now, I did say I was going to bear my soul so that I can get a release. Now, what happened after my 36-year relationship to cause me to go astray? Everyone knows I'm a workhorse, and everyone knows that my commitment to work is a lot easier than most women. I don't mind working hard. I'm a hard worker. Sometimes that can be to your detriment. And women want to take him in sometimes, and they work, and they don't worry about the compensation that's coming from the man. I made that mistake in thinking that after my husband was laid off for 3 years, it would be okay. It would just be temporary that I would be working for 3 years, and then he could take over. Little did I know, he got comfortable with me working. And when he did pick up a part-time gig, I said, could you take that part-time money and pay a DirecTV bill? Oh, yes, I can do that. And when I found out later he wasn't able to do that, and he didn't do that, in fact, he did just the opposite. He took it out of his name and put it in my name and didn't pay it at all, unbeknownst to me. I became very upset about it, and I confronted him, and I gave him a choice. I said, you have a choice to pay that bill, or you have a choice to go to your mother's. That was the biggest mistake I could have ever made in my life, giving him that choice. Being a proud man that he was, he thought he would hit the road. And he went to his mother's. And he pouted for almost a whole year, feeling that I insulted him. Excuse me. Feeling that I was wrong. Feeling that I should never have approached him that way. After all the years that he had compensated and taken care of me. And I must say, he has been a great husband, the best provider, never had to want for anything. I've been a Jewish princess, as a matter of fact. But nevertheless, sometimes we say things not thinking, thinking that we could get over that. And as I began to work so hard, I worked myself into an illness where I had to come off the job early and had to take some time to go home. And I figured he could take over then. But he had gotten so comfortable, he didn't want to take over. He was through at work. He was ready to retire. Now, there lies a lack of communication. I didn't know where he was in his mind. I didn't realize he was ready to retire. Had I known that, maybe I could have just gone a little bit longer and drugged myself there. But at the same time, I was hoping he would say, darling, take a rest. You need a sabbatical. I'll take over from here. But he didn't. And I was hurt. I was very hurt. But yet we still had good communication in other areas, and we're still best friends. So could I hate him for that? Could I then ostracize him, talk about him like a dog, and beat him down? No, I couldn't, because I couldn't forget all the great things he had done for me in my life. He was my soulmate. He was the best man that God had chose for me, and I still think he is. However, God is going to have to do a new thing with him to readjust us so that he can develop enough pride in himself and to feel like he can thrive again. After a man gets older, he feels like it's hard to compete and his sharp cutting edge is not there. So he tends to want to retreat and give up instead of going back to society, fighting for what's his with an MBA degree and pressing forward, being a number one in his profession. He had been so fortunate, he's always worked in the same field all his life. So we were settled. We were sedentary people and buying and purchasing homes and establishing ourselves and building communities up in areas where they were diversified and maybe one or two blacks. So we had made it, so to speak. Being invited to speak all over the continent talking about how we made it. But we had to be very careful, because most of those people that had us out front was waiting to pull the rug from up under us. And I had to constantly tell them that we were not going to rally about material things. We would just talk about how God was the source in our life. Our ministry was blossoming. He even converted himself to Christianity to work in the ministry with me. When a man changes his God for a woman, you know he loves you. And my husband did that. So I will never forget the things he did for me, because no other man would ever be able to provide those things for me. That is why it's so hard to this day to make a decision to make a transition completely away from this prior relationship. And will I marry him again if he asked me? Yes, I would. I would allow him to go on his knees and propose, and I would accept him back as if nothing has ever happened. Because somebody have to be able to be forgiving, and everybody deserves a second chance. So, women, I'm going to tell you, now that you've heard my story, maybe you go back in your closet and you reassess your situation and think, can I make a change? Can I do something different to let this man back in my life? Because communal lifestyles are at stake here. I've got to bring black families back together. I've got to make sure the planet is safe. And remember, you can do so much harm to your children. Your children can grieve over the situation when the marriage falls apart. Your children can fall apart. Your children can go astray. And then you think, what do I need to do to make matters better? Maybe I need to call a truce and come back together and bring my children together and keep this family knitted together. Communal people do that. We work on those things because we have to become a bigger person to make a change and give in and say when we're wrong and say we're sorry and admit that we were wrong. Yes, I was wrong for asking him to leave. I should have thought of another clever way of doing it. At the same time, men sometimes have habits that they think that they are not causing a problem. Gambling could be a problem, and they may not see it. They may think, oh, I make enough money. But when you're making enough money and you're spending your own money, it's okay. But when you want to spend your wife's money, that might cause a problem. So sometimes we have to call a truce, and we have to look at the times. And our times have changed here, and in the cities that you live in where money has dried up, jobs have dried up, you've got to understand that some things you can no longer do anymore. So two people have to come together and call a truce and say, look, this is what I'm willing to live with, and this is what I'm not willing to live with. And when you have that time, use it. Don't be like me where you let it slip out of your hands and you wonder what happened to that time I had, and who's loving him now? Who's holding him now? You begin to wonder, who's embracing him now? Because it's sure not me. And you want to be a part of that person's life to embrace them. I want you to remember these words and these songs. Who's loving him now? Ladies and gentlemen, it's been great talking to you, and thank you for allowing me to bare my soul and take a therapeutic help from my community. Thank you.
Your heart is saying yeah.